I'm bringing out my reason. You know, it really is. I was excited about today. I was excited about what I get to share with you, what we're going to talk about today. And so I just wanted to let you know how excited I was. You know, getting ready for something like this, a lot of hard work. I mean, it's a lot of books. You know, you get to read some fun stuff out there, and I think I got through this one in about a day and a half, and you know, I was in preparation for this. I mean, I was studying hours upon hours, and you know, I did nothing else but study and pray. I prayed for hours on end, and my studies, I was reading in King James, you know, just to feel like I was in touch with way back then, and even in my prayer time, I prayed in King James, just to make it holier and in that way, you know, you know, I just was looking forward to this, and you know, wanted to just let you know how good I am. You can be impressed, all right? It's not easy being a Christian, you know. It's not easy because, you know, you have to do certain things. You have to be religious, right? You have to be prepared for all of this, you know. You have to have you got to read the Bible, you know. And so, you know, read the Bible every day, 1 to 2 chapters. And if I feel really spiritual, I'll read 3 chapters in a psalm. It works out well that way. You know, you know, when I'm looking at, we don't just tithe 10%, no. We go 11%. Go to church even when we're not preaching. Got to do that, you know. And when I go through the drive-through at the coffee shop, I make sure that I pull out one of those $20 gospel tracts and hand it to them as the tip, you know, because I want them to know I'm spiritual. I don't know why they don't look very excited when I come the next time, but no. That just makes you want to hear exactly what I have to say, right? You know, sometimes what we do is we feel that this is what the Christian life is. That we have the big Bible that's falling apart because that shows us that we're more spiritual than the next person. Jesus was dealing with this a lot during his time. As a matter of fact, in the text that we're going to be looking at this morning in Matthew chapter 6, we're not going to read it for time's sake. We only have a few moments. But in Matthew chapter 6, starting at verse 1, Jesus is really having this conversation because of the Jewish leaders that kind of did everything that they did so that people would notice it. And he says, look, here's 3 areas of things that you do. And he says, you know, if you're giving to the needy, don't let the right hand know what the left hand is doing. If you're praying, don't go out and stand on the street corners like those really religious guys like to do. You know, they like to stand up and everybody see it. No, don't be like that. And he goes on and he gives the Lord's Prayer and that. And then he says, the third thing is he says, you know, when you're fasting, don't make it look like you're fasting. Make it look like you're just like everybody else. He says, because here's the reality. When you do all of these things for that intended purpose, you've already got your reward. There's no more to it. As Jesus brings in there, there's 3 things I want us to quick see here. There are the actions that he's talking about. Now understand, when Jesus is talking to these guys, and even the stack of things, the going to church, all of these things, there are expectations of things that we do as Christians, as followers of Christ. Now understand that because he says these things in those ways, doesn't mean that he says, no, don't do it. He actually says, no, there are expectations that I have of you as a follower of Christ. For example, in 1 Peter 2, verse 2, he says these words, like newborn babies crave pure spiritual milk so that by it you may grow up in your salvation. One expectation is that we crave the truth of God's Word, that we are in God's Word seeking truth as much as we can. In 1 Thessalonians 5:17, really easy verse to memorize, by the way. Pray continually. I think you can get that one right. Pray continually. Prayer is a part of what our ongoing Christian walk should include. We should be praying, talking to God. Hebrews 10:24 and 25 says, and let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. We see actually a few different things. He says, one, encourage one another. This is part of what we do as believers. We encourage, we uplift one another, we help one another. He says, then on top of that, fellowship with one another. Spend time together. And then he says, and then the third part of this is, you know what? Gather together for worship and for the teaching of God's word. Acts 1:8 gives us another one. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. He says, look, here's another expectation of things that I want you to do is to be out there sharing the good news of Jesus to those who need to hear. Be involved in sharing the gospel. Now, we could go on and on. The Bible has many more. Some that would include loving one another, helping one another, giving, tithing, living pure lives, as we talked about just a couple of weeks ago. These are all things that as you read through Scripture, you find these are expectations of us. When we are called to follow Jesus, we are called to be more than just a fan of Jesus. You see, sometimes there's this idea that, well, when I pray and I accept Jesus into my heart, now Jesus is my best friend, he's great, he does all of these things for me, and all I have to do is just, I go to church and I praise him because he's so good. And yes, we do that. But it's more than just that. So you can't have it go to that side, but at the same point, you can have it go to the other extreme where now the things that we do is becomes legalistic. And that's what Jesus was working with in his time, where it was, you know what, if you're not doing this, then you're not spiritual. I remember one time I went to a youth conference, and the speaker was up front, and he was talking, and he was doing the Jewish teacher thing, and he was saying, you know what, if you're not in God's Word 3 hours a day, then you're not in it enough. And I remember the youth leaving that place, they were just dejected. Because they're like, I can't do 3 hours. I can barely get 15 minutes in. But yet, this guy tells us, oh, I'm doing 3 hours. And if you're a good Christian, then you too would be in God's Word 3 hours a day. You know, you can do all the right things for all the wrong reasons. You can have the right idea with the wrong motive. What are our motives? And this is what Jesus is dealing with. He's in this part and he goes, look, you do these things. When you do these things, do it with the right motive. Do we do it for the purpose of getting the impressed? I'm impressed. They're impressed. You know, I carry this big Bible, you know, and I've got this big old thing and it's got papers falling out of it and you're walking around with it underneath your arm because you want people to see that your arm sticks out to about here. Right? Or how about that prayer meeting where you have the what I call the prayer orator, right? The guy who, when he starts, you're like, oh great, settle in, we're here for the next 30 minutes. And he prays in King James as well, and it's like, you know, walking out and people are going, oh man, did you hear that? I just felt so blessed by that prayer. And you know, maybe he was, maybe it was good, but is that the heart? You know, we have all of these things. You know, maybe it's the point where you're sitting there and the offering plate comes by, and in the day when you had the checkbook, maybe some of you still use one of those, you know, the offering plate would be right there, and you're like holding up the line because you're writing your check. And then you rip that thing out, it's like, you want everybody around you to know, it's like, I'm putting a nice big check in the offering plate for everybody to see. Why do we do these things? Jesus said, let me give you the motivation. In Philippians 2 verse 3, he says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourself. Are the things that I do done for the benefit of others? We had our teacher appreciation thing. Understand that those teachers came in every week, gave of their time. Why? Because they loved the kids. They wanted to serve and benefit those kids. So what do? We do it for self aggrandizement, or do we do it for the benefit of others? Colossians 3, 16 and 17. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your heart. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. The things that we do we do them for our Lord and Savior? Do we do them because of all that He has done? Do we look at it and say, you know what, I go to church because I want to be in the presence of God? Proverbs 21:2 says, a person may think their own ways are right, but the Lord weighs the heart. See, we could be doing all the right things. Jesus saw that the Jewish leaders were doing the good thing, but with the wrong motives. They wanted to be seen by others rather than encourage others and trust in God. But it also brings us to another point. We can do the right things with the wrong motives. We can do the right things with the right motives, but with the wrong attitude. What is our attitude in which we do these things? Sometimes it's easy. I can tell you, it's easy to be at the place where you're kind of doing the I'd rather be doing devotions. You wake up. How many of you wake up, your alarm goes off, and it's like, boom, feet on the floor, you're out running, and it's like you don't even have a thought for the rest of the day until you get back home and you hit the bed and you finally go, oh, I didn't do devotions today. It happens. Or, you know, that offering plate comes by and you're like, oh man, I know I'm supposed to give and I know the reason why, but man, I could get 2 rounds of golf in this week if I didn't tithe. Do I begrudge the things that I know that I am supposed to do? There's a story of a man that his alarm went off on Sunday morning and he was laying in bed, and his wife, you know, like every morning, jumps out of bed, gets ready, and he's kind of laying there just kind of moaning. And she comes back after a few moments and she goes, honey, you got to get up. We got to get to church. He's like, I don't want to go to church today. Maybe you feel like that sometimes. I don't want to go to church today. You know what? It's boring. It's too structured. We do the same thing week in and week out. It's always the same. It's nothing to it. I don't want to go today. But honey, you need to go today. Why do I need to go today? Because you're the pastor. See, even pastors have rough days. It's easy to get to the place where we do what is expected with the wrong heart or the wrong attitude. So what are the attitudes? What should this look like? In Colossians chapter 3, verse 17, we see the first one, and it says, whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. You know, when we look back and we go, wow, look at all that God has done for us. Do we go through difficult? Yeah, we go through difficult times. There are things that happen in our life that really stink, but yet God is faithful through all of it. Cancer strikes, yeah, it's there. Death strikes, yeah, it's there. But you know what? God has been faithful. And you know what? The greatest thing of all is that He has given us eternal life and He's given us hope. Do I do these things because of an incredibly thankful heart to what God has done for me? James 4 gives us another one. Verse 10, he says, humble yourselves before the Lord and He will lift you up. A great attitude in the way in which I serve the Lord is in a way of humility, not puffing up like Jesus was dealing with the guys there where they're, you know, it's like I'm doing this great prayer because people will notice me. No, am I doing it humbly for the Lord? You know, and I think of all that He has done, I come to the place where I realize I could never repay what He has done for me in my life. I couldn't even come close to paying back all that God has done. And really, it brings me to the place where I have to simply say, Lord, if You can use me, use me. And we do so humbly. But the third attitude we find in 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 through 18. We read 17 earlier, but it says, "Rejoice always, pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstance, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." This is one I think that sometimes we miss. It's the idea of joyfully serving God. Joyfully doing those things that we're expected. Think about it. When was the last time that the offering plate came by you and you started to laugh hysterically? Now, not because of your bank account, all right? But I mean, because you were so excited that, you know what, I get to give to the Lord. I get to give to the service. You know what? This money is going to help somebody go across the globe, go overseas to bring the gospel message of Jesus Christ to somebody who is bound for an eternity in hell. I get the opportunity to be a part of that. How many times do you open up your Bible and you look, sit down to read and you go, man, I am so excited. What is he going to tell me today? What gem is going to... Are we opening up God's Word like that package that comes from Amazon on our front porch? Or what about going to church? As this morning, as you were driving in, were you singing at the top of your lungs going, I'm coming to worship! God's going to do something this morning, I can't wait! Or what about when Miss Lynn or somebody calls and says, hey, would you serve in this capacity? And you hear that on the phone, you go, yes! Absolutely! I can't wait! This is the greatest thing that has ever happened to me! This is better than a Packer touchdown! Some of you are like, Am I joyful in what I do? Let me tell you something that I think we need to hear from time to time. God doesn't care about your religious piety. He cares about your relationship with Him. He doesn't care how much you give. He doesn't care how much you read. He doesn't care how often you go to church. He says you could do all of those things to the greatest extent, but if it's not about your relationship with me, then it's worth nothing because you've already received your full reward. Listen again to the words of Jesus in Matthew 6. Be careful then not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. It's not about religion. It's about relationship. As we close, let me just simply ask you this question. Where are you on the scale between religion and relationship? Which way is it tipping? Because this is what Jesus says. He goes, you know what? It's all about relationship. If you've been trying to please me by doing stuff and impress others, stop doing that and just enter into relationship with me. And out of that relationship, you will serve in all of these ways. Because that will be your heart in the relationship. Where's the balances today? Let's pray. Heavenly Father,